We haven't had any bids for Jose, and I don't know whether we will or not. You know, he's contracted to us. He's had an opportunity to improve that contract, several opportunities to improve the contract situation. He's reserved his right not to do that and made it very clear that he would like to explore the opportunities for a transfer. That's where we are at the moment. Jose wants to leave the club. And
so formally, is that? He's
formally,
put a request.
Yes. He's formally asked for a transfer. He mooted this earlier in the summer when he rejected the original offer to improve his contract, and has repeated it since. And in doing so, has declined the opportunity to both improve and extend his contract. So those are the facts on the table. The other fact is we haven't had any inquiries for him. So will he leave, will he not leave? I don't know. He certainly won't leave on the basis that he can just go. We would not consider releasing him unless there was a decent transfer fee. And secondly, that we were in a position to replace him. So if anybody comes along on the last day of the transfer window, it's not going to happen. So he's aware of all that. He's been very professional. He's played well when he's played, and he is our captain. And if he remains at the club, which I would say is a strong possibility, then we would expect him to play the second half of the season in that manner, right the way through. But it's Jose's obviously 33 years of age, and maybe feels there's a different opportunity for him out there, and to be able to finish his career with a bumper contract. He's been a great servant to the club. We respect that, and it is what it is, and we'll wait and see if anything transpires.
His point when he's spoken publicly throughout this season has been that he wanted another year on what was offered. I know he got a contract last year, I think, so he wanted another year after the Euros this time round. Could you have avoided all this just by giving him that out of a sense of loyalty and service to the club sort of thing? Because that's what the perception everyone has.
I'm not going to go into the details of what was offered to Jose. What was offered to Jose was, in my view, quite significant, on the back of the fact that he signed a contract in October 2015. So 6 months later, we were prepared to improve that contract and extend it. So the question of another year is not one, we haven't rejected that. He has turned down the opportunity to increase his salary, and he's turned down the opportunity to get another permanent year on his contract.
Of course, the other half of the centre-back partnership apparently is going for £50 million in this month to whichever club wants to fund that sort of money. Virgil van Dijk, is he going anywhere?
Virgil's not for sale. I mean, the simple answer is he's not for sale. We haven't had any bids. If we got any bids, we wouldn't consider them, because we would be crazy to... it just doesn't make sense for anyone to think that we would release Virgil van Dijk in mid-season when we've still got, we believe, all to play for. There haven't been any inquiries, but certainly the status of him at the moment is that he's simply not for sale.
At the other end of the pitch, because of Charlie Austin's injury, I think some people would like you to splash out money on a striker, and because the cutting edge at the side hasn't always been there this season, has the transfer policy altered at all in your thinking for this window based upon that injury, based upon results or anything else, or will the plan stick to what it is?
No, the plan is, the way we operate in transfer windows has always been the same. January's a very, very difficult window because it's a panic window, and players who are available in January are available for a reason, and unless you're going to break all kind of transfer records, or you're the type of club that has the finances to do that, whatever you do, you're going to pay over the top. And probably for a player you'd rather not have, because the guy you want is not going to be available. So we, our focus has always been, we don't panic, we're not tempted to go and patch things up. But we do have a situation where if an opportunity did arise and we could improve the squad, then we would consider it on its merits at the time. But we are monitoring players. You know, we have a consistent 1,000 players on our database churning over that we're monitoring 365 days of the year. So it's not like we come to a window and go, right, who's around? We know what we would like to do to improve this squad, both from now on and through the next few years. But it's always a question of availability and availability at the right price and whether the player would come to the club.
It's a bit like Charlie last year.
I mean, that was opportunist and it worked for us, other than the fact that he got injured this year. But we've never been a club that panic buys, and we also don't just throw money at a problem and keep our fingers crossed. You know, we think it through, we work our way through it. So we're very open-minded about what may be available and what opportunities might come up. But we're not going to force something to happen for the sake of buying somebody in January. It has to be that it improves our squad, and that's the way it will remain. So we're not closing the door on transfers, but we want to get it right if the opportunity comes up.
Okay, you said half-term report time. It is that. The manager's come in. Claude has gone about his business in a quite unassuming way. Obviously, results haven't been of late what you would like. As his boss, how does the half-term report look?
Well, it's we had a similar situation, you know, half-term last year, and we did exactly the same thing, which was normally at this time of the year, like I'm sat down with you now, I would sit down with the various heads of all departments to review what have we done so far, what can we learn from it, how can we improve the next 6 months of the season and finish on a high. So it's really no different, and we've finally had a bit of time to actually sit down and do that with Claude and all the first team staff and everybody around the first team, like I have with the academy manager and everybody else. And we're confident that we've learned a lot from the quick turnaround between games. And we looked at, you know, I've got it up there on the wall. If you look at the top half of the calendar, it's three games a week. It's incredible. And then as we get through January, things start to even out again. Claude really hasn't had an opportunity to do much in terms of coaching other than recover from matches and then prepare for the next one. But the ability to have the players out on the pitch longer and do functional training sessions, and the ability to work on different systems of play and so on have been very, very limited. And he's taken every opportunity he can, but the sheer turnaround of games, and not just the fact that we play every three, but it's if you take the Europa League, it's the travelling that really takes the week gone before you know it.
We've all experienced that.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, and the fans have, and you know,
and that's the biggest. But that would be the biggest disappointment to the first half of the season, wouldn't it, for all of you? Because you set openly targeted Europe and as a club.
Yeah.
So I guess, and for me, that then makes any league setbacks look worse. Because I think if people had that Europa League to look forward to, they'd forgive more league results, and everyone would go, "Well, 14th is fine. We're in the knockout of this, and we're in the semis of that."
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'd like the fans to understand is we all feel the same way. You know, we've been there with them on those journeys, and we would love to have, you know, we haven't turned away from that. But as I said before, what we have to do is examine what got us there, what can we improve on, how can we make it better, and what do we refocus on? So for us, you know, we're in the semi-final with Liverpool. That's a fantastic opportunity, and we have to assume that by giving it everything we've got, we've got a chance of a Wembley appearance. So yes, we targeted Europe. We did well in terms of getting further in Europe than we did last year, and we'd like to qualify for Europe again. So that means we either have to have an absolutely fantastic finish to the league season and look at other teams dropping away a little bit. But what we have to consider is that if somebody drops away and we don't give it our best shot, we're going to be kicking ourselves.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've got an opportunity through the cup. And therefore, you know, for us, we need to turn that round into an exciting period again. Let's go and play Liverpool, give ourselves a real good chance of getting a Wembley appearance when we go up to Anfield. And from that boost, let's take that into our league form and carry on and have a good finish to the season. So nobody's giving up on anything here. In fact, what we're doing is saying, we set ourselves some targets. This is what we've achieved. This is what we haven't achieved. How do we put that right? And how do we refocus? Have we still got things we can focus on and target? And that's been the attitude, so that we can work towards that. As we come out of January's a tough month. Not only you know, if we've got FA Cup, League Cup, and league games to play. But it is a January transfer window. There's a whole lot of stuff that can be very distracting. So it's keeping everybody focused on the second half of the season. What are our goals? What are our targets? How are we going to achieve them? What have we learned in the first half of the season? And put everything into having a really good, strong finish, which, you know, we'd all love to be an appearance at Wembley.
Yeah.
And we'll give it our best shot to do that.
And it's interesting because, of course, the matches are keeping coming thick and fast through January, like you said. And yet, at the same time, the manager gets criticised for rotating the team in and out of weeks. I'm not sure how you're supposed to do it. It's a conundrum that's hard for anybody to get right. But it's one of the things, as when the results don't go your way, he gets pilloried for.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's easy to look at what you did. If results don't go your way, that must be wrong.
But he sticks to his guns, doesn't he?
Yes, and I support him in that, because if you look at that kind of fixture congestion, it's very interesting. I listen to pundits on the radio and on the TV who played years ago saying, but I wanted to play every week. Mm-hmm. Every week wasn't three games a week, or I wanted to play in every game. Every game, every week wasn't three games a week. And the other thing was, our players run around about 13 kilometres a game now. So that's three. If you think of an athlete training for a competitive 10k run, they do about 10 a year, and they train for months leading up to that competitive run. Our boys have been doing that three times a week, and excess of that three times a week. I remember, you know, when I was coaching 10 years ago, measuring players who we thought were fantastic athletes at the time, who were running 8K, 9K per game. All of our team are regularly running 12, 13K a game. So to expect them to repeat that, and remember, they're not 10K races, which are paced. Mm-hmm. These are high-intensity sprints. The number of high-intensity sprints has gone up. The number of high-intensity runs, that's like Bouffal's run at Everton, chasing back to pick the ball up, getting it, and then going through the entire Everton team to set up a chance. Those have increased. So as a coach now, you really have to look at that data and say, yes, probably some of these players could play two, maybe even three games on the trot, but then the fourth game, they're gone. And it's trying to keep all 24 players up to a match level of competitiveness with a fixture calendar like the one we've got. Especially when, as a coach, you know, and Claude is a coach who's out there on the field all the time and wants more of it, to not be tempted to say one more session will be all right. Because I think you've got to take into account the three games a week, the 13K that they're running, is in addition to their training. And as I said at the beginning, so what tends to happen is, in this kind of period, up to now, it's been play, recover, prepare, play, recover, prepare. What we really hope is that if we can get through January, then we've got an opportunity to play, coach, improve, prepare, and move on. And I think we have to take a long-term view, which is an interesting conversation I had with somebody the other night, was the team we played Spurs, when Spurs beat us at home, that's 2.5 years of Maurizio's work. Claude's done 6 months, and when Maurizio first went to Spurs, there were lots of questions about the pressing, the running, the volume of training, will it work? players then moved out of the club and young players were given a chance. Harry Kane was on loan at Leicester. So we're at the beginning of that kind of cycle. It's really important that we think long term so that we are still competing at 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th in the league for the long term, and that we're not going, you know, up and down like some of the other clubs around us do that. They've one great year, one bad year, one good year, one bad year. We want to get some consistency. And we've had 6 years of that. So we think we know what we're doing. And what I would say is just trust us on that basis, because we've gone through this kind of thing before. We've done it the Southampton way and we've come out the other end okay. And we, you know, we think we've got that kind of philosophy right. Why would we want to change it? You know, because we're under a bit of pressure at the moment. You know, and yes, we're disappointed. We've lost 3 Premier League games in a row. We've got to put a halt to it and then we've got to move on. But the fans should be reassured that we're not just taking this for granted. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to make it happen.